You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Rocky / Creed in Review. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Hey.
The producer / seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hey, yo.
And the legendary Sancho West.
You, my boy. Come on, my boy. Give it, my boy.
Really good. Wow.
Yeah, that was good. There's a lot of good energy going on here. Two things I want to say off the top. One, had a blast hanging out with Sancho West in real life down in Nashville, Tennessee this weekend. Nice. So that was a ton of fun. We got to catch up, have some fun little drinkies, and, you know, do all that stuff. You have fun?
Oh, I had a great time, man. The place they took us had no menu for cocktails. You literally had to tell them what flavors you wanted. I threw a curveball. I said, I want a snow cone type flavor. And they came back with one. I was impressed.
Whoa. Yeah, so Eric Castro got us into this like super dope little speakeasy where it's like, you know, you have to be all fancy and shit. And we did not prepare Sancho for that at all. So I was just like, oh yeah, we're just going to this bar, like just meet us there. And he shows up and he's like, hey, like I'm outside, like I think. And I was like, oh, I'll go get you.
So there's no door handle. It was just a door.
So they sent a dude to go get him. They're like, Sancho West. And he comes in. And he's like, what the fuck is this place? And I'm like, that's hilarious.
It's like a Zelda dungeon.
Yeah, totally. And they're like, yeah, so like, what do you want to drink? And he's like, oh, where's the menu? Like, we don't have menus. So they go around and start asking us what we like. And like, I was like, oh, maybe give me something with like a spicy tequila type thing. And like, they come back and it was hot sauce, tequila, some honey. And I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then, yeah, it gets to Sancho. And he's like, I'm going to give you a challenge. Give me like a snow cone. And like, give me a total fuck.
Do you know what a hot spy is?
The guy comes back with this snow cone ass drink. And it was so impressive. It was like, all right, y'all won the night. Y'all did the damn thing. So that was cool. But then the other thing I wanted to bring up is I hate how much I called it. Creed 3 has been delayed officially until March 3rd, 2023. So we're going to ride this out. We are going to complete the Rocky saga, and we will get back to Creed leading into Creed 3 next year, which is not too far away, just a couple short months. But you know what? It is what it is. You know what I mean?
With how fast the year is going, dude, we'll be there in no time. It's freaking August, dude.
Yeah,
I
know. Yeah.
And the other thing is, I didn't know there was so much drama with Sylvester Stallone and the producers, the OG producers of Rocky. This guy's posted on Instagram calling them parasites, bloodsuckers. Like, it's insane. And like, they announced Drago, like, they want to do another Drago film. He's like, they're trying to kill Drago. It stinks. Like, that is what's basically the vibe that Stallone is going for. It's crazy.
Yeah. Now, to be clear, he's not mad at Creed.
No,
he's not mad at Creed 3. He's excited for that project. He's mad that a Drago spinoff. So one day we will be doing Drago in this interview.
But he also apparently didn't really like Creed 2 wasn't given his sort of approval, right, or some shit, or maybe I'm making that up.
It starts getting to the point where it gets complicated you know, all that stuff. But I mean, like, no, at this point, it's like he was. You'll see. I don't want to spoil anything for you, Andy, because you haven't seen the Creed stuff yet. But we'll get to that later. Of course, this is Kinda Funny's In Review, where each and every week we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. Right now, we are doing the Rocky series. Now, here's the situation of how this is going to go down the next couple weeks. We have done Rocky 1, 2. We're about to do Rocky 3 right now. Next week, we're going to take a break from Rocky. We're going to go back to the MCU. We're going to do Incredible Hulk rewatch.
Awesome.
Preparing for She-Hulk, get familiarized with the Abomination with Tim Roth's character there.
I thought you meant the whole movie.
And well, that too. We'll see how it goes. And also, we will be doing I Am Groot, which is I'm very excited about. That premieres next week. So two in reviews. I'm sure the I Am Groot one's going to be more of a fun little mini thing. But then after that, we're going to return to Rocky, and it'll be 3 weeks in a row. Rocky 4, 5, 6 to close out this part of this entire saga. You can get all of that on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You could also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Interview, and we'll be right there for you. Nick Scarpino, what's up?
Did we ever confirm where the leaf came from?
It came from the chooch. It came straight from the chooch. Okay. If you don't know what we're talking about, go to Kind of Funny's TikTok and watch our reaction to the I Am Groot trailer that resulted in honestly one of the funniest clips I have ever seen in my life. I think I've watched it 10 times on loop. Gio was dying laughing out loud at this thing. It just keeps, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Go check that out. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get this show ad-free and watch live as we record it. Today, we're brought to you by Chime and MeUndies, but I'll tell you all about that later. Let's get right into it, y'all. Oh, no, Patreon producers, Molecule and Fargo Brady, thank you so much. You're the best. Oh, yeah. Today, we are brought to you by, no, where am I? Step back, rewind.
Woo, take it back.
We're doing some facts, baby.
Rocky 3, released on May 28th, 1982. First Rocky movie Nick was alive for.
Oh, yes. Right? I don't believe I saw this in theaters, though. I think that I remember seeing the very first. Two. Yeah, the one I saw in theaters first was Rocky 4. For sure, I saw that, which was incredible.
Oh, that's exciting. Can't wait to talk about that. This one had a runtime of 1 hour and 40 minutes. I appreciate the hell out of that. We're getting down some time here. Directed and written once again by our boy, Sylvester Stallone. The music once again done by Bill Conti. Andy, you ready for me to drop some facts on you?
Please hit me with them.
So remember, Bill Conti also did the soundtrack to The Karate Kid. Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Okay.
A little song titled You're the Best
around,
performed by Joe Esposito, was recorded for this film, but Stallone rejected it in favor of Survivor's Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Ooh, that's the best call ever.
You're the best was later used in The Karate Kid. So man, it's like
an embarrassment of riches, right?
Yeah. Like, come on.
They also do a little known fact too. They also had the song "You Got the Touch." The touch, remember that? That was also supposed to be for this. No, not for this movie.
Oh,
I'm joking.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that was Stan Bush. But what I thought you were about to say, Nick, is that coincidentally, Survivor, the group that did "Eye of the Tiger," also performed the theme song "The Moment of Truth" for The Karate Kid, which was then later performed by I forget her name, but that woman in the latest season of Cobra Kai.
Oh,
remember when they did
the All Valley. The All Valley. Oh, it was.
Were they like, ladies and gentlemen, this person? You're like, why?
Tony Roma's ex-girlfriend.
Yes, Tony Roma's ex-girlfriend. Keita Sat.
Shania Twain.
No.
Close.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Richards. Catherine.
Reba.
Dana Jones.
Reba McIntyre.
No, but it was like, who's the new age Reba?
Fuck, man.
Tony Roma.
Dude, this is going to bother me.
Tony Roma.
Tony Roma's girlfriend. Tony Roma.
Tony Roma is a restaurant.
Sure, I got some good ribs, though, I tell you what.
It's with a C. It starts with a C. I know that much.
Carrie Underwood?
There we go. We got there, everybody. Now, hey, again, want me to blow all y'all's mind for a second?
Sure.
Blow it.
We're a month away from Cobra Kai season 5.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, we are. This year just went by fast.
So that's absolutely incredible. Anyways, back to Rocky 3. This one had a budget of $17 million and a box office of $270 million. Once again, doing extremely well. In terms of awards, it got nominated for a whole bunch of things. Didn't win too much, but Eye of the Tiger got nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song. For a damn good reason, because it is one of the greatest movie songs of all time. Andy Cortez, I want to start with you. What did you think of Rocky 3?
I'm glad I watched this movie twice. I watched it for the first time yesterday and genuinely did not like it.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe I was in a weird headspace. Mm-hmm, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I just rewatched it legitimately like right before the show started. And I enjoyed it much more the second time around. But I still think there's a lot of decisions that characters make where the script has to put these characters in a spot in order to push the story along and maybe cause some tension and cause some issues between certain characters. And some of it feels forced. Like, there's some decisions that characters make in this movie that I don't feel, again, we've only had two movies with them, but I still feel like, man, this doesn't feel believable to me. Mm-hmm. And that was my issue the first time around, is that not only those problems that I felt like characters were making stuff that just seemed uncharacteristic of them, but it also just really felt like a sequel. And that's such a dumb thing to say analysis wise, but watching it, we get the Hulk in the beginning, and much like Rocky in the beginning of this movie is doing his montage and he's a superstar and he's being sponsored by everybody. It almost felt like they were doing a commentary on themselves in a way, because the Hulk coming out, all of that just felt so excess, and it felt so... It felt like such a third iteration, a third entry into a series, where they're going for the spectacle, and I'm getting more and more like what Nick was mentioning in part two, where it's starting to feel less and less like the sweetheart Rocky and more like Sylvester Stallone. And I got that so much more here. But a lot of this movie just did feel like, I think I've made this comparison before, but at the end of 22 Jump Street, all of the fake sequels that happen in the credits, I got a lot of vibes here. A lot of those same vibes here. Rewatching it a little while ago, I enjoyed it more the second time around. I do think it's still a well-made movie, but I just really feel like they put a lot of these characters in certain spots that I don't. But they just felt like unnatural moments for them. And it felt like it was like, well, we got to push shit along. We got to cause conflict somewhere. We got to have tension somewhere. And it felt kind of forced to me sometimes.
Sancho West, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I agree with Annie there. I mean, it's Rocky. It's like Rocky Mania. It's here. And then we're basically close to prime Stallone in his career. We always talked about how Rocky reflects to where he is in his career. And this is everything, the hookups, the connections. You got all the ads. You got Hulk Hogan in it. You got, you know, the appearance of Mr. T. So we're into that. I think Rocky III is the weakest script so far out of the entire one. I mean, it has some great moments in it. The opening montage of Eye of the Tiger, it bangs. You got Thunder Lips is really cool and surprising. And then the whole Apollo training is fun. And then, of course, Mickey's death, I think, is so brutal. I mean, it's happened so quickly, and it's so brutal, and it's beautiful at the same time. So that scene always sticks out to me when it comes to Rocky III. I think Mr. T himself, Clubber Lane, is like sick and cool, but he's very one-dimensional, and he gets like less cooler the more we see him. Like, he's just totally this one note that it's on fire at the beginning. By the time at the end, you're just like, who is this dude? I would like to wish more. I mean, granted, he was like Mike Tyson before Mike Tyson was ever a thing. So that part is awesome. But the more we saw him, the less I liked. I think everything outside the ring is just bad. Like, every scene outside of it's bad, except Apollo's training. I didn't like the movie's pacing so much. I think it really... Like, I'm so spoiled by this new episodic way of digesting things. It really feels like, if you look at it, you could break out this movie in an episodic structure that will work really well, because there's a lot of cliffhangers and a lot of endings that you go, okay, I want to see what happens to Stallone. But it's that start and stop mentality that makes it like, even though it's the shortest one, it feels longer. You get a lot of fights, and then by the time you get to the end fight, you're like, I've seen so many of these fights already. It's like by the time you're just like, hurry up and finish at this end. I mean, it's still a classic. I still like it. I definitely a contender for the top, but I don't know, man. I just felt like the pacing was the biggest thing of it all. And I think Annie has said as well, I mean, we're getting more Stallone here, and it's the less lovable. It's a more articulate Stallone, you know? He's a little bit more Tango and Cash, more the Devil Mission Man type Stallone.
Nick Scarpino.
I love this movie. I find it incredibly enjoyable. But it's definitely, it's a lot like The Last Fight with Clubber Lang, where it didn't need to happen, but I enjoyed watching it while it did. This movie is definitely like, this is where Rocky starts moving into the second phase of what Rocky really is, right? Rocky 1 and 2 where they were still trying to do sort of like slightly more intimate character studies of like where Rocky was at with his life, where Mick was at with his life, where Adrian was. This one, we start getting into 80s Rocky, where we start really getting into, it's just Sylvester Stallone. And if you watch like the first scene he's in the first movie, and then you just stop and you start watching this movie, they are not the same character in any way, shape, or imagination. The first Rocky could barely read off a cue card. What did he do differently between training for all these fights, where he is now the most suave, debonair, most eloquent speaker you've ever seen in your entire life? It doesn't make any sense. It would have made more sense if he had some cognitive decline. It would have made more sense if he was beat up. This, he's just all of a sudden a superhuman being, which is completely ridiculous. And so that's where we start getting into the more caricature of what Rocky is, right? Everyone, like the Family Guy making fun of Rocky, right? All the Claymation Brisk commercials making fun of Rocky, like all that stuff, all of the silly memes is where we're in meme territory now. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I love Mr. T. He is incredibly one-dimensional in this, insanely one-dimensional, but it works for me because the movies, every one of these movies kind of examines where a fighter's at in a particular moment in their career, right? The first one is him being hungry. The second one is him actually winning the championship. This one is, I always have a soft spot for this one because I feel like it's kind of the saddest place a fighter can be, right? Which is at the end of their career. And they just have to do that one more fight to prove, like, for whatever reason. And usually goes bad. And it does go bad for him in this one. And then we get where I think is the fulcrum point of the entire series, Tim. And I know this is a point that, but I can't wait to hear what happened, your reaction to this. Mm-hmm. We get the most genius decision ever, where it's like, Mick's dead. Who's going to train Rocky? And you just hear, I forget what he says, but you just hear his voice. And you're like, is Apollo Creed going to fucking train Rocky? Did Tim Geddes just shoot out of his seat with excitement and hype? And is Duke there? Does Duke is going to train him too? Fuck me. It's so, and they go out to California and he's like, you're going to train where I started. And it's like, so all that stuff just hits on such a fun level because they kind of knew, right? They were like, let's not make it too long. Let's have these two be together because they have a great chemistry. How do we get them back in the ring? And then Mr. T, unfortunately, very one note, but he just needed to be the one note villain. And he does have some bangers, though. I wrote one down. When Creed goes to shake his hand for the first time, he's like, get out of my corner, sucker. You what? And Creed's like, looks at him like he's going to throw a punch. He goes, what? You want to jump? Jump. Which is the hardest fucking thing you could ever say to a former world champion. I love it, man. I find this movie incredibly entertaining. Is it great?
During that sort of initial showdown in when they're presenting him with the statue, right, and Creed or Clubber Lang is out there starting
he's
to ruckus
everywhere. He's always there, yeah, everywhere.
Always he there. He's such a Pokemon villain. He's like Team Rocket. He's just always there, like to antagonize. But I'm watching him like start beef, right? And Mickey's like, no, we're not doing this, and you know. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm going, go ahead and talk about Adrian, because this is such a stereotypical shitty villain thing to do. You're being shitty for no reason. You don't really have any motivation. And where's it at? And he's like, hey, do you want to be with a real man? I'm like, there it is there. Like, yeah. Of course, they had to hit the note of like, you know, him. Hey, woman. Like, here we go. Like, I was waiting for that to happen because, yeah, he is very, very one dimensional. And I didn't really find myself enjoying a lot of those moments. I think that Creed as the coach made me enjoy this movie a lot more than I probably would have had they gone a different way with that.
Fact for you there, Andy, is in an interview with Mr. T, he said he attended the movie's premiere with his mom. And during the scene where he yells the remarks at Adrian, his mother turned to him and said, I did not raise you to talk to a lady like that. And she stormed out of the theater. That's awesome. Which is just awesome. I think I'm a lot closer to Nick on this one, where I really enjoyed this movie. This is a lot closer to what I thought Rocky One was going to be in terms of tone, in terms of like what it was attempting to give us. I think the leaner runtime really works in its favor. I think it was the easiest, most enjoyable watch so far. Getting into the action, kind of like having all the stakes kind of set up. We know what's happening. I love that I'm still with this Rocky franchise. I know it from Family Guy. I don't know it from watching it. So I know certain things. I don't know when they're going to happen, how they're going to happen. And I did not expect Apollo Creed to come out and be his coach, and I should have. Awesome. And I feel like I'm an idiot for not knowing that. Oh, wait. And it was just such a reward. Like, it was one of those moments I had to stop, pause for a second, just be like, oh, this is fucking awesome. Like, I didn't think that they could compete with the second half of Rocky II. And I still think that the second half of Rocky II is the best thing we've seen so far. But I think that they really did the most that they could have. And him wearing Creed shorts, like, they just played so many points of this correctly. I love Clubber Lang as a villain. He was one-dimensional. That was the best dimension possible of just being this, like, shit-talking bad guy. I love that every punch and every grunt that he had almost felt like a lion roar. Like, it was so 80s, like Nick was saying. And, like, I guess that's the type of stuff that I lean towards liking a bit more than the slower, kind of more it feels like improv talking, real conversation 70s style that I've just never really been a fan of. It does feel like a different Rocky character. I like this Rocky character more. I didn't really like him that much in the last two, and I felt that he was a little too real. I liked it here. It's kind of like we're picking him up where he's at, and sure, it is what you expect from a, hey, he's a celebrity boxing guy. Didn't expect Hulk Hogan at all. I marked out for that. I thought it was awesome. Got the leg drop. Like, there's just something about this movie that was just delivering a lot of fun. I did not expect at all so many shots of the thighs.
There's so many
thighs. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
The little
split
splash in the water between them. I was hype as fuck. The gratuitous use of Eye of the Tiger. I don't think they ever truly hit the moment, and I'm a little let down by that. Like, I was hoping Eye of the Tiger was going to kick in and it was going to be like a fuck yeah, but it was always kind of like a slow transition into it. But I got to appreciate the amount of montages this movie had, and I do think that they continued to up the ante throughout this movie. Again, I don't think that any of the montages, for as amazing as they were in this one, get close to how hype the second movie's one was, because that was just so good.
It's incredible.
But I feel like this movie was just consistent the whole way through. I feel like it was enjoyable. I continue to not really like Polly. I don't like Adrian, so they felt more minimal in this one. So I got more of what I like out of Rocky in this one. So because of that, I'm a little more positive on it. And again, that runtime really did it a lot of favors, because the first two movies, I was like, okay, I'm enjoying this, but I really want it to be over. This one was kind of over before I realized it. So excited for Rocky IV, because like, at this point, I don't know what the hell. Like, when is certain things going to happen? Who the fuck knows, man? We got multiple movies left.
It's so interesting, because just thinking about how the tones in these movies like differ. And I loved the tone in part one, and I also love the tone in part one of Ninja Turtles.
and then part two gets
a little bit more Hollywoodified and like action and over the top, and suddenly it becomes a different franchise. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening here, where they Stallone almost kind of understands like what the audience wants at this point, and maybe it's not the slower, more introspective moments and getting to learn the character and getting to understand who they are, but it's more of, all right, let's give them the bravado. Let's give them the hype moments and the cool montages and the character getting beat up. And but we're going to fight back, and we're going to train hard. And it becomes a very Hollywood movie in that way that I think, in my opinion, works out for better and for worse in a couple different ways.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sancho.
And Andy, Ninja Turtles 2, Kevin Nash. This one, Hulk Hogan.
Wow.
Choose your fighter. Yeah, and Andy, to your point too, is I feel like it is a different tone, and it being the third movie, like, it's funny that this movie doesn't really do much that the other two movies haven't done. Like, movie one, it's like, cool, he fights the champ and loses. Movie two, rematch and wins. And here it's up that they just combine both of those in one, which I do think helps with the pacing and our understanding, but kind of lessens the like excitement of like what's gonna happen. Like, the last two movies I was saying in the final fight, I'm like, I didn't know he was going to win or not. In this one, it's like, he's going to win. Like, we know he's going to win. There's not really any like investment there. Exactly. I do think that for as one note as Clubber Lang's character was, the moment Creed gets introduced in this one, I think it adds depth to Clubber's character in a way that I think is really fascinating. I don't think they went far enough into dealing with the racial aspects of this. Like, there's some direction towards it, but they don't like do enough with it. But I do
mostly just that, Polly being racist.
But having Creed be the coach and teaching Rocky certain things and all that, I thought that like that was cool. But what I really liked about it was the use of our knowledge of the first two movies and what Rocky has went through and what Creed has went through, and Creed being the business guy and how he deals with Rocky here, where he's just kind of like the eye of the tiger. Like, you're not hungry the way you were. Like, look at all these people's eyes. Like, I like that that is Clubber. And I feel like it kind of gives Clubber this like really cool characterization that, like, sure, he is this one note fucking, I mean, first off, can we just say Mr. T is the greatest, awesome. Like, yeah. I'm just a bad guy and I'm just going to talk shit. Like, holy fuck, he nailed that, right? But I think that Creed gave Clubber Lang a bit more nuance, just in the sense that we now see both Rocky and Creed in him in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I liked how that all kind of paid off at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, but I, this is the third movie in the Rocky franchise about a guy that boxes. So it's difficult to find some dimensions. But one of the things that I really do like is that you get like a couple things. One, you get the sense that if Creed thought that he could have made more money by stepping in, he would have fought Clubber Lang himself, which I love. And he has that one moment where he's like, "This could, if we do this right, this could be big." So he's like, He does want to help Rocky, but he also is like, I'm still Creed. I still see an incredible opportunity here. But he has that one moment in the ring where he's like, I would swing at this guy if I could. But what I really, really like about this, and I think that the moment that I keep coming back to is that moment on the beach with Adrian and Rocky, right? And that's really kind of what the heart of the movie is that Rocky's never been scared before. He's never been beat this. He's been beat before, but he's never been beat by something that's so unbelievably overpowering before. And I love when she's like, just say it. He goes, I'm scared. And she goes, cool. Get in there, win or lose, it doesn't matter, but you got to face that fear because I know who you are. And if you don't do it, if you quit right now, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. And I love that. And I love that he has to train in the guy that he had to beat style to beat the other guy, because the other guy is the tank. He is the one that gets hit and keeps coming. You can't, it's like two giant, you know, rocks hitting each other. So he's like, you got to have speed. You got to stick and move, stick and move, stick and move. And if you watch the difference between his fighting style in the first two Rockies and this one, he fights like Apollo Creed in this one. He's light on his toes. He's sticking and moving, jab, jab. It's super cool. Also I love that they
made finally.
Yeah, he does. But I also love that they actually, and Sandro probably caught this, he was like, you're going up against the southpaw. They're both southpaws. So it's like, what are you going to do? This guy's you, basically, except he's younger, hungrier, and really wants to knock your head off. And it's when I was a kid watching this, because I think I watched Rocky four, and then rented Rocky three, and then I was like, Rocky one and two were boring to me when I was a kid, but now I love them. But I remember being terrified of Mr. T when I was young, because he was fun. When to your point, Tim, when he's throwing punches and it sounds like a car slamming into another car with a tiger growl mixed into it, it's a whack, and yeah. he just grunts at you, and you're right, and the way they shoot it, it's like, oh, it's so. It's so visceral, and I just think he did such a great job being that foil.
Well, it's also a big change from, I believe, part one, even, because part one, it didn't really sound like there was very many punching sound effects. Like, it's already a big change enough just in production that we're kind of getting those visceral hits. I wanted to talk about that moment on the beach as well. I feel like that moment could have been perfect if Adrian was 100% perfect in that sequence, because I think like there was like some not great acting and some not great line delivery.
It was a little loose.
Sylvester Stallone, I thought, was perfect in that scene. Like, I loved his emotion, and I felt like part of it was her trying to match that energy in a way, and it just felt like it wasn't quite there. But when it worked, it worked. Towards the end of it, I think the end of that conversation is like flawless. But starts off a little bit shaky because it's like, man, he's so good and she's just kind of rough so far. And then it kind of even meets up and you get that emotional payoff. Like, I love that. I'm scared. I've never been scared. Like, it's so damn good.
Sacha?
I think where this whole thing where when I start pulling at this movie's threads, where I start like dampening on it, because like I said, it's a classic still, is that the orbital eye thing, everyone forgot.
Whatever, yeah, we don't care about that anymore.
We don't care about it. He's fine.
We assume he had enough money to fix that back,
right? Right.
Because he's living guy, large in this movie.
And, yeah, absolutely. And then I think the, like the other thing that kind of like what I don't like about it is like the amount of fights that happens when we get to that Clubber Lang fight and we get to the end fight and he has that new style. I'm hyped with it too. But then for some reason, and I was going to talk about this when we talk about fight hype. He just starts no selling Clubber Lang like out of nowhere. Like it makes no sense to me that all of a sudden you're a tank and you have the second win Like, I wish they explained to me that Clubber Lane is gassed. Maybe he doesn't hit as hard as anymore, because all of a sudden Stallone's like, you hit so bad, hit me. And it's like, well, what are you talking about? Like, this guy was destroying you a couple, like a fight ago. And now he's like, you're eating every shot. And Creed's like, what are you doing? He's like, I know what I'm doing. He's like, I don't understand. Like that to me, I was like, wait a minute.
They
like,
could have done a better job.
Yeah, that's what sure. I mean. I was like, what do you mean? Like, you're no-selling him. And the other thing that I'm getting fatigued on is, you're going to find this as well, if you're, this is your first time watching Rocky, is they're going to try to keep telling him, don't do this, Rock. You can't do this, Rock. Don't do this, Rock. I don't want you to fight Rock. And then he's like, I got to do it. So it's just like, this is the third movie, or the second movie from Rocky 2 to Rocky 3. Now he's like, don't fight this man. Mickey's telling him, you know, and then Adrian finally says, like, you got to do it. You got to be answer it. But the whole thing with Mick, and then you're going to see it again in other movies, like, don't fight. You can't fight. So
you know, like, but. I'll disagree with you a little bit because, and sorry, Andy, I know you got your hand up, but I want to stress this point. Like, I think the conflict with Mickey was why he had to fight, and that makes a lot of sense to me, right? Like, see, I think they did a decent enough job of setting up. Listen, this guy's at the end of his career; he probably shouldn't have fought all these fights anyway. Because the last time we saw him, I mean, he wasn't supposed to fight. He's gone way longer than he's supposed to. But then the realization that, because Mick kind of confirms all set up, it, right? Where he's like, he's like, were they setups? He goes, they weren't setups. But I didn't. You're not fighting the best, right? You're not doing this. This guy is the best. This guy would have destroyed you back in the day. And that, for a fighter, would wear on you. That would be the kind of thing that would get you back into the ring. So I think that conflict was there for me at least. And then by the end of it, I do think they could have done a better job of being like, it's like that. The moment in like Rounders where he's like, oh, I figured out that John Malkovich's tell was that he twists the Oreos or whatever it is. Like, he should have figured out, like, oh, he's getting tired. That's his tell. Let's train for that. But they didn't really do a great job of that. Andy, you had your hand up. Sorry.
I needed Adrian in that scene to be like, you just need to do one thing. What's that? Don't lose.
Yeah.
Just another derivative thing of that. In that fight at the end, I kind of got some of that from part two as well, where as the viewer, I'm confused and I don't know how I'm supposed to be feeling, because everybody in his corner is terrified of Rocky and he's cocky as all hell. And I just need a bit more communication and maybe the corner and him to be like, oh, he's got him right where he's want him, where he wants him. But I'm getting a lot of mixed messages, like, is this the right call or is this not the right call? Because like, they're telling him to back off, but he's like, hit me, you know, like, it just feels like, well, I want to, as the viewer, to be like, oh, he's fucking got him right here, you know. I kind of want that to happen.
Yeah, it's funny because it feels like I've had this criticism of all three movies so far, where it's just like, I do wish that it was a little bit more Hollywood in terms of the commentators explaining what's happening and building the story and the narrative of the fights, because it feels like Stallone, as the writer of these and the choreographer as well, is trying to make the fights a little bit more thematic to the entire movie as opposed to the fights themselves telling a story. And so it's like, you start seeing it and it makes sense and adds up, but I just feel it starts to make the fights not feel as connected as they should and as hype as they individually should. Because like the point of him kind of starting to take all the hits and like being a tank, it's like that's him kind of reverting to Rocky 1. It reminds me a lot of the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, where Liquid and Solid are fighting each other and like going back between the different fighting styles of the different games. Like, all of a sudden Rocky's like, oh, you know what? Like, his first round, he's dodging for the first time ever, right? And he has a perfect round, not getting hit at all. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. That's way more Creed style, right? And then he eventually is like, I don't care what these people are telling me, even Creed, I'm going Rocky style. I have the eye of the tiger now.
But I think they did an okay job. To your point, yes, you're right. Like, we needed that one moment where it's like the aha moment, right? Where it's like, I get it. I see how to beat him. I see what that strategy needs to be. But I do think that he doesn't start doing that. I don't think he's doing the Rocky thing from Rocky 1 and 2. What I think he's doing, and I think they did a decent enough job, and I think to Mr. T's credit, he did a great job at this, was that in going into that third round, he looks gassed. And when he throws that punch, Rocky has a moment where he's like, oh, he doesn't have as much heat on that punch anymore. And so he's purposely gassing him out. He's purposely going, come on, hit me as hard as you possibly can, because he knows he can take it. And then he combines the two styles and just finishes him off, which is incredible. Like, I like it, but I think they could have telegraphed it a lot more. And I think, to your point, Tim, like, they needed the traditional like three act structure of these fights. Like, it's going okay. Oh shit, everything's fucking wrong. Hey, we figured it out. Hey, we won, right? And yeah. we kind of just went, it's going okay. It's not going good. He won.
Yeah.
There was no totally. Real moment where you like kind of figured it out.
So I want to move on to the plot and all that stuff, but real quick, I just want to say before we move on to all that two things that I love. First off, Creed is my favorite character in this franchise. I thought that in the second movie, and I definitely think it now. But he has the best line ever, where he goes, "Heaven knows I don't mind being involved with large numbers," which is the dopest fucking thing this businessman ass entertainer can say. And the way that this movie ends, where the whole time is like, "I'm gonna train you, but I got one favor. I need a favor." And I'm like, "What's this favor gonna be? Oh my God." And I was like, incredible. Is he about to ask for a rematch? Like, is that what Rocky IV is? Like, what is going on here? And the way that the rematch happens when they walk into that fucking little tiny arena, and they're like, no TVs, no nothing. Come on, man. End the franchise here. That is so 10 good. Out of 10. Perfect, so dude. I know,
that's the Family Guy moment you're talking about, right? With Peter and Cleveland. They're going,
yeah. But we're about to get to the plot. But before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsors.
No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit. That's up to 2 days more to save, pay bills, and generally feel good about your money situation. But Chime is more than just about getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. So what are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on the payer. Have you heard about the legendary underwear brand that's taken the podcast world by storm? Famous for their buttery soft undies and bralettes, MeUndies loves podcasts just as much as you do. It's like they're made for you, and you're made for them. You're made for each other. Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know I love my MeUndies because they're the most comfortable underwear I've ever had, and because they have great patterns. As the king of Halloween, my candy corn pair never fails to make me smile. Everyone knows MeUndies for their super soft undies and comfy bralettes, but did you know they also make other stuff? We're talking about durable, cushy socks that will make your feet sing. They even make hoodies for your dog so you can match every important person in your life. Available in sizes XS to 4XL and tons of colors and prints, MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. Any first-time purchasers can get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny.
All right, Andy, hit it.
Plot. Here's the plot. Here's the plot. Here's the plot.
Rocky 3, ladies and
gentlemen. Plot. Here's the plot. Here's the plot. Here's the plot.
Rocky 3, ladies. Oh, okay, I thought you were going to do it again.
Rising up.
That's incredible, Andy. Well
here's
done.
The plot.
My prediction, Tim, pain.
Oh, my God, dude. Yes. Yes!
That is the line that I look forward to every single time.
That camera shot was terrifying.
He spikes the camera.
Pain. Oh, man. And then he just has that growl. We get, of course, the recap of the end of Rocky 2 again. This is going to be the hallmark.
Holy shit.
Yo, Adrian really did it. And then fireworks, baby. And they're like this. Listen, we know what we got here, guys. Mm-hmm. We know what we got. We want to get you in and out. We want this one's the money maker, okay? 2 hours, 30 minutes? No. What was the one time a brisk
140, dude.
We can get four times the amount of showings in there. I didn't do the math right, but that makes sense. And guess what? We're going to get people hyped. We're going to keep them hyped for the entire time. And we're going to do that with Survivor. Rising up, back on the streets. Did my time, Tim. I took my chances. Mm-hmm. We're watching Rocky with the montage. He's winning. He's getting all these easy fights. Meanwhile, Clubber Lang's fucking training in a dungeon, just seething, waiting for his shot to knock Rocky's head off.
Remember, he's like, I live alone. I train alone.
Yeah,
you know, he does all that stuff, man. He looks so good in a tux too. He's like watching with the tux, and he has the feathers, and he has that head mohawk. Oh, dude, so good.
It's funny because like did we talk about this or not, Tim? When Mr. T sort of like rose to fame, because I think this was what
After me and Nick went to lunch yesterday and we were talking about this, and I looked into it a little bit. Yeah, so if you notice in the opening credits, this ends with "and introducing Mr. T."
Mr. T.
And I was like, was this really his like first thing? And yeah, it was. So
I would have never guessed that.
For the no, definitely not. A-Team wasn't until years later, just a couple years, but after this. For the role of Clubber Lang, two real-world heavyweight boxers were first considered, Joe Frazier and Ernie Shavers. Both were about the same height as Stallone and had the powerful physique he was looking for, but according to casting director Rhonda Young, Frazier had a stuttering problem, while Shavers had a high-pitched voice, which would have undermined the character's menacing presence. After looking far and wide, and this is one of the most racist things I have ever heard, even going to prisons in the hope of finding a suitable black antagonist, Rhonda Young stumbled upon a television program on NBC called America's Toughest Bouncer, showcasing a sports competition, and was mesmerized by the winner's physical prowess as well as his charisma. She then called the producer to ask him about the man with the mohawk, and it turns out he was not only a perfect fit, but he proved tremendously determined to give the best possible performance right there from the first screen test for what would turn into his breakout role.
Dude,
Jesus.
That's crazy, first off. Second off, I love that he was a bouncer. And third off, Mr. T is just a badass. I mean, you're talking about a guy like who was an icon of the
Transcendo,
for sure. Just a badass.
And tag team partner for Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So a lot of another tie there. But I mean, even then, it is funny because it's like, you know, Booker or Mr. T is like such an iconic just character, you know, and like the I Pity the Fool and all that. Like, that did it start here? I guess so. Like, this is the first time
it had to have.
Yeah, like that's wild. But like, I feel like everything he says is a catchphrase. Like, he is such a WWE superstar that like you can look at wrestlers and at pro wrestlers throughout time from this moment on, and you can see the Mr. T inspiration, right? Like, Booker T talks like Mr. T, and I'm sure that is not a coincidence. You know, it's like there's just a cadence and an energy and a like just confidence to his shit talking that it's like, wow, like he's special, man.
Who would have thought that Clubber Lang would have become the Hollywood sellout like Rocky did? I mean, I pity the fool who doesn't call collect and all the sponsorships and stuff. It's really on sad.
Cereal boxes and stuff, and cartoons.
Well, in this montage, though, I love seeing Rocky on every magazine in the world.
It's great, and it's the role reversal, right? Because Rocky has become Creed, and now Clubber Lang is the young upstart trying to come take the title from him. And I love that, right? You see Rocky doing all these commercials, and then you just see Creed or Clubber just running through the streets like Rocky used to, just training, waiting for his time. I love that they use actual pictures of Sylvester Stallone with famous people. They're just Sylvester Stallone. I love that Sylvester Stallone and throughout this entire movie, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sancho, because you've seen this multiple times, I don't think there's ever a moment where his hair moves in this movie.
So voluminous.
I was gonna bring this up in Rocky too. Like, you could tell when a movie or any kind of budget, like even The Office, you could tell when the seasons goes on, every actor and actress in The Office, their hair gets better. Like, Angela's hair gets better, Pam's hair gets better.
Because the hair and wardrobe make it, they get a budget, man. Yeah.
Stallone's hair gets better here.
It's so perfect. Stallone's hair gets perfect in this. I'll say there's never been a better Stallone hairdo than in this one. I challenge anyone out there to tweet at Tim Geddes multiple pictures of Sylvester Stallone through the years where you think his hair looks better.
Do it.
I challenge you to do that immediately.
I mean, Rambo's pretty good though, bro. Rambo's pretty good.
Rambo's hair is incredible, but it's not coiffed. Rambo's hair is like, it's down with the bandana, and it's always kind of sweaty. He's always sweaty. He's got just the sweat and blood on it. This one is just like, this one literally reminds me of my Uncle Danny and his wife, and like all of the like Italian old women in my family just have that moment where their hair goes from being like having form to just being going like and just becoming a helmet.
You could hide so much paraphernalia in there.
I can't remember my aunt's name. That's so funny.
So it's not a wig at all. That's real.
Oh, that's not a wig.
That's 100%.
That's prime 100% Italian stallion right there. we get a weird moment with Polly where he just slowly throws a bottle through what I have to assume is the actual Rocky pinball machine.
This is where I was like, oh, this is like episodic stuff. It's like that episode that you're like, why is it here? But
again, we got to create tension somehow. We have to have some conflict.
It's a weird scene.
And this is one of those, like, this feels forced sort of moments.
Yeah. See, the thing is, Andy, like, you're so right. But it's like, we need conflict and tension. But it's also like, do we? Because this conflict is resolved so easily, so quickly, and in the stupidest way imaginable. I'm like, dude, can we just kill off Polly? I'm so over. I've been done with Polly since the fucking first movie. I'm so over him, man. Get him out. Ass. Get him out.
Okay. The funny thing is, I said to my I always because of Rocky. Sorry, to interrupt. Because of Rocky, I'm like walking around like Stallone in my house now. I'm like, hey, yeah, I do. And so, like, my wife says something, I go, I don't sweat you.
I don't sweat you.
because of that, my 4-year-old said that now. She heard it. She's like, I don't sweat you. I'm like, you're funny.
I'm sure your wife does not appreciate that.
It's so funny because it's like, what does it mean? It's funny to me.
Of course, Rocky bails him out of jail and they get into a fight. Paulie just thinks that Rocky owes him the world. And Rocky's like, I don't owe you anything. He's like, nobody owes it. Nobody nothing. Friends don't owe. They do because they want to. You ain't down. You ain't a loser. You're just a jealous, lazy bum. And then Paulie gets pissed off and starts stupidly throwing punches at Rocky, who, to his credit, is like, just kind of dodges and keeps his hands up. And for once in his life, keeps his guard up because he's like, I don't want to get knocked out by Paulie.
Watch the hair. Watch the hair. Hey, whoa.
And then, of course, he was like, he gets pissed off, he gets exacerbated, and then he asks Rocky for a job. And he goes, well, all you had to do is ask. And it's like,
okay, see, that's Stallone there. That's Stallone. All you got to do is ask. That's the Stallone.
It's an interesting Rocky moment. It's a terrible Polly moment. And this is definitely one of those you could tell that if there was 10 more minutes of this movie somewhere else, this would have wound up on the cutting room floor. Because they could have just cut to Polly living with him, taking care of the kid, and that would have made sense, right? Polly's a shitbag. And
he's
uncle, but he's the uncle, and he would have just been taken care of. And I do like that moment with the kid where he's like, where Adrian's like, no betting.
Right.
He goes, yeah, no problem. And then right when they leave, he goes, now we got a problem in the fourth.
Seventh, right.
Seventh, he pulls out the paper, which is funny.
Yeah, you can see later on them going, yeah, we cut all the early Polly stuff because we didn't really feel like that tension. But we took out all the other later tension stuff of the movies. So we're like, take out the beginning stuff too, because what's the point? And what is the point of any of this? Just have him living there. You don't need to just give him a job. Have him like, hey, come on, Rocky, give me a job. That's all you need. We don't need this sequence of him looking like he's going to be the threat the whole movie.
Also, can we just stop the plot of Polly needing a goddamn job? It's like, do something besides needing a job and being an asshole. Like, that's all Polly does.
Polly, man. Polly.
I don't sweat you.
Later that night, Rocky and Adrian sing a duet of Take Me Back together. Nice to see they're still very much in love with each other. And I love, again, even in bed, Sylvester Stallone's hair. Perfect. Immaculate. Perfect. We get to the charity fight, and Mickey tells him he's out of his mind for fighting a wrestler. And then when the man enters, it's none other than Hulk Hogan playing Thunder Lips.
Why are they carrying him?
Why are they carrying him? They're not. He's walking, which is a great line. And I just want to point out here that, you know, there's a lot of action stars these days, and a lot of people are weird about their height. I don't know why. I personally have accepted my height, and I love myself. Never once complained about it, not one time.
Never once.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing.
You're very welcome, guys. And that'll be the last I ever talk about it. But I do want to point out that Sylvester Stallone understands how to make his character vulnerable, which I think is why we like Rocky so much, because you have to have a character who's going to be vulnerable so he can overcome a challenge. And we love watching a character overcome a challenge. But man, when he stands next to Hulk Hogan, he's so much smaller. And there's that great shot.
Hulk
over the shoulder
6'7".
Where he just like looks, he like kind of looks and the shoulder dips back and you just see him looking up. I mean, Sylvester Stallone's not short either. I think he's like 5'10".
This is prime Hogan. This isn't Hogan that's like been hit with chairs, leg bumping for like years, and he's like hounded over. This is like prime Hogan before Thunder in Paradise, before
the race
commando, before all
three
that.
Ninjas High Noon at Make a Mountain.
There did you hold on? Did you notice the very 80s CG covering up the bald spot?
I did not.
There's that over the head shot where he's looking down at Rocky, and there is a very badly tracked, like yellow kind of thing covering the bald spot up top. Go back and watch it. It is really funny to see. Yeah.
Why would they do that though? Because it's not like he's got a little bald spot here. He's still, I mean, this is prime Hulk Hogan. He just has the halo of hair that just kind of mullets down. That's funny.
But I'm sure it's because he's so freaking tan that you see the scalp underneath.
They're like, probably like, it looks like a giant eyeball. We got to do something with that. We got to spray paint that a little bit. I will say
Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan received the initial offer to be in the movie after, like, right after a wrestling match with Andre the Giant. And at first he thought that the other wrestlers were playing a prank on him, so he didn't even respond. And he was just like, fuck these guys. And then he got an official Western Union letter that he had to sign for. And the contents were Sylvester Stallone wrote a personal letter to him saying he wanted him to be in the movie as the wrestler. And it's like, that's fucking cool. That's cool, and he signed immediately.
I will say, Hulk Hogan, not great in this, though.
As
Thunderlips.
Before Thunder in Paradise.
Got way better at being that, being the, you know, Hulkamania, that presence. And this one, he's like, I am Thunderlips. Mm-hmm. I'm the best looking man ever. And you're like, it's a little subdued for what I remember. When I think of Hulk, I'm like, we'll see you, bro. You know, a little bit more outgoing.
And that's what I was saying about, like, Mr. T. It's like, Mr. T in this movie is the greatest pro wrestler character ever, and it's like he isn't a pro wrestler character, and it's in the same movie with Hulk Hogan. Like, it makes Hogan not look that great,
but it also,
what you good at,
you also kind of just don't. I have just a lot of trouble believing any of this because I know what wrestling is, and we know what WWE is and stuff, and we know these athletes take bumps and stuff, but for Mickey to be like, I've seen these wrestlers, they're crazy. It almost felt like they were trying to promote pro wrestling to us.
Well, Andy, you have to remember, this is 82. This is before the Montreal Screwjob. This is before, this is when everyone still thought
this is when wrestling was real. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, real talk. They were pretending it was real, and it was actually scary and shit, which results in very funny now for us to look at this movie, and it's utter chaos, and people are just, Rocky's getting thrown into the audience. It's like, there's a violence to this again, that is hilarious.
I really hate all of this sort of beginning part. And then, like, hey, why'd you go so tough on me? It's part of the job, man. Hey, can we get that photo? Yeah, you can. Like, what is, like, I don't know. I just hated it.
I think, to your point, Andy, I think there's a way for the scene to have been fun. And I honestly think the weak link is Hulk Hogan. I think he needed to be about 200% more on both sides, where it starts off where he's like really, really nice, and then throws him around, and then goes back to really, really nice. Yeah. But in this one, he's just kind of like subdued the entire time. And I'll chalk it up to the fact that he was just, maybe this was his first movie at the time, and he was intimidated by the fact that it's Sylvester Stallone and he's in a Rocky
film. Nanny.
Okay. Yeah. So, wrestlers in movies, it's Macho Man and Spider-Man, right? That's
number one. Definitely.
Right, that is number one. And then you got Triple H and Blade Trinity, right?
Of course. That's what everyone thinks. That is the natural second, of course.
Above The Rock in the fucking Tower movie where he, whatever that movie is.
Yeah.
Probably at the bottom of the list.
Skyscraper.
Oh, yeah. That's
Wait. And then you have Hogan in, Nick, what's that movie? No Holds Bar.
Was he in No Holds Barred?
Yeah, he was in No Holds Barred. Absolutely.
Dude. And Cena in The Marine.
Alongside with Zeus. And then, of course, John Cena. There we go.
Now, I want to say something right now, guys, before we move on, because I wrote a specific note about this, and I think it's important to talk about. Hulk Hogan, clearly taller. But when it comes to the sheer ice diamond cutting definition in abs, holy shit.
Absolutely.
Sylvester Stallone just decided to dehydrate his body for this movie, and it's worth it. He looks insane in this.
At a remarkably low.
Born labs. Now it's time to ring those abs.
Hey, yo.
Take it over, Tim.
At a remarkably low 2.8% body fat.
Yeah. That's very, very dangerous, but oh my God. You know what it reminds me of? There was a moment, I think, when everything on this planet stood still for a second. I think it was one. It was like, oh my God, a beautiful disturbance in the force.
Here we go.
And that was when Zac Efron was training for
Baywatch,
the Baywatch movie.
Yeah.
And I remember that one picture of him where he was just looking. Every part of his body was shredded. That is what this, and all of us together were just like, something happened. I don't know if it's good or bad, but something happened.
This could mark the end times.
This might be it. Man, he looks fantastic in this, and I got to give it to him. This is the number one spot by far. Because Creed had big abs, but the definition he has
it's the rib cage abs. It's like this area is like boom, 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 like little beads.
It's unbelievable. Mm. It's unbelievable. I'll put that on the list later. I'm sure I won't forget that at all.
Throw that on
anyway, going back into it, fun scene, could have been better. They throw around, yada, 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 and then he gets back in. He's like, I like the part where he's like, take my gloves off, and then just goes hammer on him. And then he has to throw in a rear naked choke on him, which I love too. A little bit of jujitsu there back for the early 80s. And ends up, the match ends after, I guess the exhibition match was one round. and they're done. And he gets the his picture, which
the important seed here is Mickey, like starting to like feel that.
Oh, stress. Right. Mickey has the
he's like a little bit starts of a like oh
chest competition. Also love that Clubber Lang in here, just here again. Every time Rocky's anywhere, there's a scene that got deleted where Rocky just goes for a sandwich. Clubber Lang right back there. Yep. Right in the back, just peeks out from the bathroom. I'm always here, I'm everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Eating a club sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. I hate you, Andy. I really do.
Eating a club sandwich. Ladies and gentlemen, stop for a second. It's not going to get any better than that.
It's just not.
It's not. Wow. Nah. We get a cute scene with Rocky and Rocky Jr. at Rocky's mansion. This is not Sage Stallone. I thought it was, but it's not. Polly stays behind to babysit while Rocky and Adrian and Mick head to the unveiling of Rocky's statue, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the same statue from the end of The Dark Knight Rises. Rocky uses the opportunity.
Nick, real quick, you bringing up Sage Stallone, who sadly passed away in 2012. His mother was the blonde groupie who asked for and got a kiss from Rocky.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Don't kiss Stallone, you get pregnant.
Exactly.
Another
that's
scene.
Why I stay away. Rocky uses this opportunity, it's a good scene, to retire from professional boxing. Of course, thankfully, Clubber Lang just there again interrupts the from nowhere to rain on Rocky's parade. He calls Rocky out for taking easy matches, setups, as Clubber calls it. And Rocky, of course, takes the and then he talks shit about Adrian. Rocky takes the base, like, anytime, anywhere.
Did anyone think that Stallone hated the face of the statue? Like, he gives like this look, like, he's like, is that me?
Is that me? Yeah, I got that too. I don't think they meant that, but like, I got that.
That's why he threw the helmet at him. He was like, it's inaccurate.
Right. Not as bad as
my nose is prettier.
Was it Ronaldo that had that statue reveal? You remember that? Oh, so bad. Google it.
Back at the house, he demands answers from Mick. I think Mick's living with him at this point, which I always liked. Who comes clean and says, "You can't win. This guy will kick you. Will kill you to death in three
rounds.
Not yet
tomorrow.
This guy's a wrecking machine, and he's hungry." And Mickey tells him the title defenses were, he's like, they weren't set up, and they were handpicked to not be as hard. They weren't killers like Clever. Rocky wants to know why he did it, and Mick says, because the beating that you got from Apollo should have killed you. It was my job to keep you winning and keep you healthy. 3 years ago, you were supernatural. You was hard, and you was nasty, and you had this cast iron jaw. But then the worst thing happened to you that could have happened to any fighter. You got civilized. And we see that here with Rocky. Rocky begs Mick to train him, and he promises to do whatever it takes. He's like, I'll sleep in the gym if I have to. Just one more time, then it's over. And Mick agrees. And let's just say Rocky doesn't exactly sleep in the gym.
No.
Because there is no gym. Because he's fighting in the ballroom of, like, the Fairmont Hotel in the middle of, like, the bougiest part of Philadelphia in front of a crowd of thousands, and they're selling merch. It's ridiculous. Andy.
Do you think, though, being civilized is like, you bought a bidet, Rock. A bidet.
You made sure your butthole's really clean.
All of this sort of sequence is an example of me going, I understand this needs to happen. I just don't find it believable. And I kind of wish it was in a different order. I wish the speech that he gives Stallone about, like, you know, you back then you were hungry or blah, blah, blah. You became civilized. I wish those were kind of like almost Mick's final words, because he gives him this incredible speech. Dude's willing to retire over this. Dude is like, man, do not fight this guy, Rock. Like, I'm telling you, I'm willing to quit my job over this. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Neither should you.
Yeah.
This seems like world ending sort of stakes here. And then we're immediately shown Rock not taking it seriously. And I just think it kind of diminishes and minimizes it a lot. And again, I kind of wish that, like, Mick was like, you shouldn't do this, blah, blah, blah. But they do it anyway, and you're not taking it seriously. Because even though he's not taking it seriously and Mick knows it and isn't happy with it, he goes with it. Love you, Rock. You know, but you're a great kid. And it kind of feels just really off to me.
Yeah, to me, it's depressing, because, you know, as the audience member, like, dude, I've seen how hard you had to train to beat the best, and we've seen this guy destroy people, and you're gonna get destroyed.
Yeah,
and you kind of see it a couple times in Mickey's eyes, where he's like, because he's like, what can I do? Like, I'm old, I'm having heart problems, I can't motivate him anymore because he's a superstar, and I can't tell him what to do anymore. And you get that moment where the girl comes out for the kiss, which I guess was his future wife. And Mick's like, get out of here. Like, what do you do? What is, we got to get out of the circus. And he's like, hey, Mickey, don't worry about it. You know, it's like, it's just, it just is what it is.
And I understand, like, you know, all of this needs to happen or to, for there to be this conflict and for him to feel really like bad after the death actually happens. I just wish that Mickey's speech maybe came at a different time, because it's like they gave us this. He laid it all out. Mick was like, dude, this is all fucked. And you should not be doing this. And then it's like, oh, shit, you know what? I haven't been taking this seriously. You're right, Mick. Let's do this. And then continues and proceeds to not take it seriously. Like, it just feels off to me.
It's a little weird. Rocky, of course, is more than happy to be interviewed pre-fight. Clever, on the other hand, is more happy to feed the paparazzi their cameras. He's like, get out of my face. Apollo is there too, which is cool, as a guest commentator. You're like, oh, they brought Apollo back. I'm sure he won't play a major role in this. Clever starts a scene on the way to the ring and the scuffle hits Mickey right in the heart. Rocky wants to call off the fight. He asks Adrian what to do, and Mickey hands him his ass. Says, after all these years, you don't know what to do. You got to be ashamed of yourself. Now get out there and do it. You're the best.
I was like, wait, did Mr. T hit him in the chest? That's what you made it seem like.
No, he just like,
boom.
His paw stopped his heart. He's like, ah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Heart point.
So Rocky, Rocky reluctantly goes out to face Clever as he does.
It's a tough thing to do as any, like, sports figure, is to have adversity literally like seconds before you walk into the arena. Your person's like your manager, whatever. It's like Andy, it's like a Coach Pop, you know, had a heart attack. God. What do you think? You think Timmy D is gonna get the win?
No, they're canceling the game, they're exactly. shutting all San Antonio down, and deservedly so.
Of course, Apollo goes into the ring as the former champion to smile a little bit, have his picture taken, and shake both people's hands. When he goes to shake Clever's hand, Clever is not having it. Quote, you better get that mad look off your face before I knock it off. Come on, you want to jump. Mm-hmm. Like, take a swing, let's go. I'm in this ring already. I got these things on. I love this moment. And dope. I know it's one-dimensional, but like, you know, you follow, all of us to some degree follow fighting, right? We've seen the sort of people that are the best out of it through the years. You know, the Conor McGregor's, like him or not, he's great at shit talking. And Mr. T is perfect in this. Never miss an opportunity to piss off someone that you might get to fight later and make some money off of, right? The cameras are on. What's more polarizing than talking shit to Rocky, talking shit to Creed, right? I love it. I just think it's like, and it makes him, not only, it kind of makes him such a comic book villain that he's likable. Like, he's gone full circle to the point where you're like, okay, I like this fucking guy already. This guy's so, and he's good at it. Mr. T's really good at talking shit. Creed tells Rocky to drop this chump, and they announce their weights. And again, I don't know what state, what boxing organization, and what doctors are sanctioning these fights. 235 versus 201? What fucking weight class is Rocky in?
Dude, you don't remember during the UFC early days, they had like big sumo wrestlers fighting against like jiu-jitsu guys?
Well,
like,
the UFC used to not have weight classes, but boxing, correct me if I'm not a huge boxing fan. I've never really followed boxing. But correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't heavyweight start at 205 in boxing for the most part? Or is it even bigger than that? Like, for Stallone would be like a light heavyweight or a middleweight, right?
Yeah, it'd be a light heavyweight, definitely. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, they reference that at some point, right? Like, don't they say he's more of a middleweight, something like that?
They say that, but it's I think that was, well, I don't know. Either way, it's hilarious because they're letting it happen.
This is what I mean. Like, I'm sitting in like this intros, they're doing the whole rigmarole about the fights. I'm like, it's barely in the beginning, and I feel like we do this multiple times in this movie. I'm like, why don't we just find a way to cut, like a smash cut or something, to get into it? Because it feels like it's an end fight at this point.
I do love this, though, when the ref kind of brings them together. Rocky cannot make eye contact with him. I think that's good from Sylvester Stallone's perspective from performance. Mm-hmm. And Mr. T just looks fucking incredible. Rocky comes out swinging, but Clever takes it all in stride. He fires back and then smashes Rocky into the ropes. Round one ends, and Rocky is dazed and bleeding. He wants to know how Mick is instead of focusing on the fight. And he wants Mick. Clever is too strong, and Rocky is quickly overwhelmed. Back in the dressing room, Mickey is on his last leg, unfortunately. Round two, Clever beats Rocky into the corner and then throws a left cross that puts Rocky down for the count.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, the way that this shit is shot, and it's just like, man, they made Mr. T look like a unstoppable force.
Brock Lesnar. I like how they edited this together, right? So we're seeing Mr. T win, we're seeing Rocky lose, and then in the locker room, the thing that was pretty much Rocky's like motivation, his spirit is dying in the form of Mick. And then in the ring, Clever is crowned the new champion. Apollo gets up from the announcer table and just leaves disgusted. Rocky heads back to talk to Mick. He kneels down next to his little friend and tells him it's all over. And when Mick asks what happened, he tells him it was a knockout, but he doesn't tell him who got knocked out in second round.
Did you just say he leans down next to his little friend?
I think I said old. I thought I said old friend. Sorry.
Definitely sounded little friend. Like little.
That's what it's called.
He's not exactly a big guy.
So funny.
Sorry, I said, I meant to say old friend. He's a little guy.
Leans down to his tiny friend.
Yeah, this shit got me, man. Like this, I thought it was, you know, it was very well done. And I love that Stallone was just like, you know, Mickey's like, what happened? What happened? He's just like, it was a knockout in the second round. Like he's telling him like facts, but it was just like the wrong side. And then eventually he just lies to him and he's like, we won.
We did it.
Oh God. That hit me hard.
You don't have to
great acting from Sylvester Stallone as well. I thought he really kind of emoted in just this like I've lost everything sort of way. And I thought he did a great job there.
And it's really sad. And Burgess Meredith to his credit as well. Banger of a senior says, you're the winner, we did everything right, I love you kid, I love you. And then as he draws his last breath goes, it hurts,
yeah,
and it's fucking brutal. And then Rocky just screams in emotion and bursts into tears and wraps his bloody arms around the old man, and it's really sad.
And he turned into a force ghost.
Sorry. He did turn into a force ghost. Of course he did. And he'll probably come back in Drago. I'll have to figure out some CG for that, though. Man, they bury Mick on a Sunday, and it's a very small funeral. Just Polly, Adrian, and Rocky. Just family. And man, this music. You could just start playing this music if you want to see me cry. Next time we're at a convention, if anyone sees me, just play it from the rafters. Mal mid-tent, because I'll just start tearing.
Okay.
Rocky rides out. Yeah. Rocky rides out to the statue at the top of the steps in the museum. How he got the motorcycle up there, clearly illegal. He looks at it with disgust and hurls his helmet at the face. From there, he heads back over.
Real quick, Andy, I don't know if you know this. That statue is now real in Philadelphia.
It's at the bottom of the steps.
Really?
Yeah. A couple years ago, they actually put it up there. So wow, that's pretty cool.
To the bottom of the steps.
Yeah, they move it up every now and then for like anniversaries. They'll put it up there.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
You go right inside though, Andy. It's the Dark Knight statue. Crazy.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yo, but by the way, dude, Stallone. Shout out to Rocky, dude. Dude doesn't know how to read well. Figures out his thing. Gets commercials. Doesn't know how to drive a Trans Am. Now, motorcycle rider.
Yeah.
Looks cool. Looks really cool. And y'all two just wait till Rocky IV.
Oh, I can't wait.
No future spoilers, but spoilers, he flies a jet.
Yeah, I was going to say F-18s.
Who's that? It's the Stallion.
You thought you guys could use some help, but you know, so I got a problem. Let's see. From
God,
there,
that movie's good.
So everything's great. We were great. Let's put it this way, guys. We were very lucky to have Rocky and Top Gun when I was growing up. Very, very lucky. There was another movie called Star Wars that was pretty fun to watch, too. From here, Rocky heads over to Mighty Mix Gym. He smacks the speed bag a little and is just super depressed. And then from out of nowhere, a voice comes out.
Fuck yeah.
That's not the way to do it. Why don't you hit it straight? Step into it. And it's just like, do people just wait for Rocky in places for him to show up? Anyway, he went to the house, of course. It's Apollo. Get fucking hyped. He went by the house. Rocky wasn't there, so he thought he'd come by the gym and take a look at him. And he wants to know why. He says, when you retired, Apollo tells him, I want to train you. And Rocky goes, why? And he goes, when you retire, because it's too quiet. Besides, with the right touch, I can promote this thing into the biggest gate of all time. It could be bigger than ours. And he says, he goes on to say, you lost the fight. He lost that last fight for all the wrong reasons. You lost your edge. When we fought, you had the eye of the tiger, the edge. And the way to get it back is to go back to the beginning.
And then Rocky goes, oh, you got me curious.
And then the scene quickly ends. Dude, like, we don't need any more. We're good.
No, we get it. Because they are going to proceed to say the words "I of the Tiger" no less than 76 times in this movie, and I swear to God, it is like one of those things of for every like, I'll post more things on Twitter shit. Where by the time it gets to the end, I'm like, how am I more hyped? Like, how is this now? Like, every time it gets better.
It's because they use Eye of the Tiger as both a positive and a negative. There's moments where Rocky's feeling goes, Rocky, Eye of the Tiger. Eye of the Tiger. You know, you just communicate with those.
It reminds me of that Tom Hanks movie, That Thing You Do. Remember every time they said, That Thing You Do, dude, and the music kicks in? Just like that.
It's exactly you like that.
Doing that thing. What a movie. That's a good movie, dude. That's
a great movie. Let's see. Clubber accepts the challenge and then proceeds to talk mad shit about Rocky. I lost my thing. There we go. Clubber accepts the challenge, then proceeds to talk mad shit about Rocky and Apollo. They really drive in the fact that Balboa is over the hill at 34. Like, this guy's over the hill at 34. Apollo tells him not to listen. Apollo tells him, he's like, no, you should listen, because when this is all over, they're all going to owe you a big apology, and you're going to owe me a favor.
And at this point, Nick, I'm like, man, they're really driving. Yeah, they're driving it in that he's 34 and that's old. There's no fucking way Mr. T is younger than 34. Like, no,
he's 48 years old.
I'm just looking at this man. And it's like, this man cannot be my age in this movie. Like, there's no shot. He can't be younger than me. You know what I mean? Like, Sancho, you get to that point where, like, suddenly the college athletes are younger than you. And you're like, I'm getting old. No way am I looking at this man. I'm like, holy shit, this dude is younger than 34. Impossible.
Yeah. Andy, when you get old, you start calling those. You call them kids. You're like, look at these kids out here playing college football.
At first, I was like, one day I'll be like these guys.
Mr. T is currently 70 years old.
Jeez.
So
he would have been in his 30s then.
He would have been in his 30s.
Yeah. Rocky and Adrian 82. Head out to Sunny.
That was 40 years ago in 82.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, there you go. So he would have been 30?
He was 30.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What the fuck?
Wild.
Was Stallone actually 34? How old was Stallone?
I think he was,
I don't know.
I'd be curious to know how old he was, because he looked great in this movie. Anyway, Rocky and Adrian head out to sunny Los Angeles, California to take it back.
Where it all started. He's 76.
He's 76, so he would have been 34. Yeah, no, 32 during this, right? No, 34. That's how math works.
How old was Pauly?
Pauly? 104 years old to be in the movie. Now, I don't know. Let's see. They head over to Apollo's gym because they want to take it back to where it all started, but not for Rocky, for Apollo. And the sign just says tough. And I'll tell you what, man, when they walk in, every fighter looks at Rocky like he's a fucking piece of meat and they are hungry. And then Apollo says, see that look in their eyes? I didn't have that when we fought. You did. We fought. You won. You got to get that look back. And then his trainer, Duke, joins them. And it's, this to me is like the best part of the whole movie, because it's like, he's like, hey, Duke's, man, what's there. Going on? That's, it's nice why. To be working with you. And you're like, well, this is just a lovely team we've put together now. I love
it's so good, man. Now, like, I love it. Again, Creed was set up so great in the last two movies, and especially with Duke as a partner. And obviously Rocky was well set up. So you put them together and it's just like, it makes sense. Like, it's believable, the story that they set up, because it doesn't feel like the, oh, both our parents are named Martha type bullshit. It's like, no. This, like, we want them together, and like, it makes the whole experience better.
Well, not only that, it's like, it is. Listen, Tim, I know you're not really familiar with this franchise that I'm gonna bring out right now, and a lot of people, it's a small indie franchise. But there's a movie that I really, really like called Fast and the Furious, and the fact that one of the things I love they do is turn villains into family. And let me tell you, this scene right here is where they all become family, and it's just gonna keep going. And then you get a movie called Creed. What's up, Andy?
And I'm glad that they didn't do the thing that I didn't like in part two, where, all these people in this gym are giving him tough looks. But then they're like, you're the fucking champ. You're Rocky. They respect him because he's a champion and stuff, which is what I didn't like in part two, where it's like, this guy was just world champion. Now everybody's like,
carry by spin.
Yeah, it's like, fuck off. That would never happen. And I love that this feels like a lot of up and coming boxers that are interacting with somebody who is a superstar.
Let's see. Of course, we get the incredibly racist moment with Pauly, where he's like, I don't like these people. And then Rocky fires back. He's like, maybe they don't like you either. And then Pauly, being a dumbass, goes, what'd I do to them? Like, you fucking idiot.
What I needed was for Stallone to look in the camera and be like, hey, these viewers don't like you either. We don't like you either, Pauly. Like, nobody likes you, dude. You're a terrible dude. And I just don't like your involvement in any of this.
Well, it's Pauly.
Should have killed him off.
Kill him off, dude. I want someone to fucking punch his head so hard it comes off.
you wanted a whole other side story where he gets in trouble with Gazzo, and then he gets just all of a sudden they whack him. That's what
it just becomes like Pulp Fiction.
It's just it's such a quick throwaway scene where they're like, "Hey, Rocky, Gazzo killed Paul, and we found his body." He's like, "Well, we got to keep on boxing."
You wouldn't want me to go on.
Here's the scene, real quick. Quick sidebar. All right, Stallone doing his whole meat locker thing. He's in the thing, and then he pulls one over, and it's frozen Paulie in the thing.
He's like, "Well, they got the Paulie, huh?" Apollo begins training immediately. They have two massive obstacles: teach Rocky how to move and teach Rocky how to swim. Apollo and Duke watch tape of the last fight and strategize. They're gonna set some. They're gonna have to set a ridiculous pace, but Rocky is gonna have to finish him by the eighth, or they'll be in a bad place. The next day, Rocky is still moving well like a rock. His focus is all off. He keeps worrying about Adrian and the last fight, and he's very, very traumatized by it. During a sparring match, Creed loses his temper. He yells at Rocky and turns it on. Rocky has flashes of clever and quits training that day. And he says, "Tomorrow." And then, and as he's leaving the ring, and Creed yells at him, "There is no tomorrow." Apollo takes Rocky to the beach for a race. He goes, "We're going to build some speed and endurance. That's the only thing we got to worry about." They race, and Rocky just falls short and way behind. He just can't stop focusing on getting knocked out and Mickey's death. And he quits the foot race midway. And Paulie says, "What's the matter?" And Creed just looks at him and says, "It's over. It's all over." Of course, Adrian knows it's not. She knows she has one last thing she can do. She takes a moment and talks to Rocky alone. She says, "Why'd you come out here? If it's over because you want it to be over, I'm glad. It's just you've never quit anything since I've known you." And Rocky is mad. He's mad that Mickey carried him and lied to him. He hung on to that title way longer than he should have. And she says, "He loved you, and that was his job, protecting you." And then Rocky says, "That only makes things worse. Nothing is real if you don't believe in who you are." And she says, "Then why don't you tell me the truth?" And he goes, "I don't want to lose what I got." And she says, "What do we have? You can't be replaced. We got everything but the truth." He goes, "You want the truth? For the first time in my life, I'm afraid." And then Adrian lays it fucking down for him. She says, "You did everything you were supposed to do." Great moment here where she tells him to get rid of it. She's like, "We can't live like this. It's going to bother you for the rest of your life. You got to go back in there." And she says, "Apollo thinks you can do it. So do I. But you got to do it for the right reasons. Not for the title, not for the money, just for you." And he goes, "And if I lose," she goes, "then you lose. And at least you lose with no excuses, no fear. And I can live like that." And she goes, "How'd you get so tough?" And she goes, "I live with a fighter." And then he says, "I really love you." And the scene ends.
Scene, yeah, that's great. It's fine. It's cool. There's two things we're skipping past here, okay? One of them, Rocky got his ball back, all right? I missed it a lot in Rocky Part 2. We see him training with his dumb little ball, the tiny one. He's bouncing it around. Love that. Second, Nick, what do we think of Apollo's crop top?
It's one of those things where you start thinking to yourself, is that what I've been missing in my life? Is that why I'm not more successful?
Yeah.
Because the confidence it takes to wear a crop top like that. Mm-hmm. And those little shorts and those it's almost such like
tiny shorts.
What it says to me is I have confidence in my midsection.
I'm better than
confidence in my thighs. But what I'll tell you this is I don't have hubris, Andy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that my ego is so big that I'm not going to cover up my calves. Okay. Because these socks are going to go knee high. That's where we're going to go.
Well, so did his.
Oh, everyone's socks were knee high. But at one point, you notice that Rocky, as he starts training and getting more light, Creed, his shirt gets higher and higher and higher to the point where it's basically just covering your nipples.
It's incredible. That was such a good choice. But I feel like, to Eddie's point about some of the pacing of like scenes and moments needing to be moved around, I feel like they needed to move the Adrian Rocky scene because it was so poignant and meaningful. But I couldn't think about it because all I was thinking about is this goddamn crop top, man.
So we're going to just go into it, right? This is the
montage. Let's get into it
right now. Everyone strap the fuck in. It's montage time.
I'm sitting here, Nick. Break. Go get a drink. Go get some water, dude.
And I'm waiting for Eye of the Tiger to play again because I'm like, okay, if this is the movie they're introducing, they're going to want to use the song as much as possible. We're about to get the montage to Eye of the Tiger. When the Rocky theme starts playing, I was like, fuck Eye of the Tiger. This is so damn good. We just get the glistening thighs. So many close-up on those thighs. I love seeing them run on the beach. The amount of times it cuts back to that. All the different training they're doing. They're getting more in sync. God, the pacing of this montage. I feel like the hype levels were higher in Rocky 2, and I do think that is still going to be my favorite one. But this was perfect, man. They really did everything they needed to do, and right when I thought it couldn't have been better, the fucking guitar solo kicks in.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Let me tell you, here are my notes for this. man, these guys wore a lot of cutoff t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Tim, when we get into the new studio, that's all we're going to wear is cutoff mm-hmm. t-shirts. That's mandatory.
Requirement.
Note number two. This montage has a lot of super close-up of Rocky and Apollo's glistening thighs. Note number three. Just a bunch of tight shots of those thighs. Yeah.
so many, shots. Dude.
There's one shot that's so close that I was like, what is that? And then I'm like, oh, it's a thigh. That's a thigh. That's what that is.
So, guys, it's time for the full Monty.
There we go.
You got to rank the Monty. Rank the montages. Currently, number one is Rocky 2, and number two is Rocky 1.
I think that the montage in Rocky 2 still hits harder.
Me too.
And I like this montage. But by the end of it, when they get to the final foot race, I was like, I'm hype. And Sylvester Stallone pulls. And I'm like, that was a really great end to this montage. But it's not over yet because they're so happy that they've made this progress that they run splash into together. The ocean and they just splash each other a little bit. They just splash each other a little bit, which is pure joy. Don't get me wrong. I love this part. But it doesn't hit quite as hard as that shot of Rocky where he's doing sit-ups and the other guy that's training him, who was also a boxer, is just slapping the shit out of his abs as he's coming up. So for that, I give Rocky, the montage in Rocky 2, still the crown of number one. What say you all?
I agree.
My ranking is 2-1-3. The thing about 3 as well is like it's too... There's more. It's too LA, dude. It's like Philadelphia. As a character, I like Philly, and that's what makes the montages better in 2 and 1. I think and honestly, Carl Weathers eased up on Stallone, bro. Like Carl Weathers looked like he was jogging at the end, dude. It was just not. And then Stallone was doing his whole thing. His hair is literally flopping back
in place.
And, just a little bit of wind. And no Apollo movement. Apollo's just like literally just chilling. So there's. I didn't believe that Stallone and I hate to bring this up as a kind of funny best friend in general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this the way Andy and Greg's race is going to be filmed? Because I hope so.
Are they going to be required to wear crop tops?
Exactly. Glistening thighs, running, and I want it in slow mo. Mm-hmm.
You know what, Sancho? You bring up a great point, and I'm gonna say here, confirming right now, put it on the Wikipedia, that if Andy doesn't grease himself down with
I'm
oil
looking at
before
my thighs
this fight.
Right now I'm primed
and on his thighs. If he forgets to do it, I'm gonna be like Kleber Lang and just be hiding in the corner right before the race starts. I'm just gonna squirt him down with oil. I'll tell you what, dude, that's how we're you know what?
Primed, Nick.
That is how we're gonna fucking do this fight. We're gonna do this race at E3 next year on the beaches of Venice.
Yes,
you guys are wearing these tiny little shorts. You got to wear these the big socks, tiny shorts, crop tops, and you're gonna be glistening.
Well, I'm gonna
People are going to go like this, Andy. They're going to go like this. Who won the fight? All we could see was thighs. It was a close-up shot of thighs.
Andy Cortez, where's your vote?
I'm going to put I agree with Sancho, 2-1-3.
So that means we're going to be a tie. So for the full Monty, number one is Rocky 2, and at a tie at number two, Rocky 1 and Rocky 3.
Fair enough. Interesting.
And boxing, there's draws. There's
mm-hmm. Wait, you know, so me and you put it number two, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how I like. I don't know if I like this or not because it scares me. Okay, cool. Do we have? We didn't rank those abs, right?
Oh, we put Rocky number one.
Rocky's number one in this one.
You know what? I'll fix that later.
Rank those abs. Right. You normally don't actually have a list. We just talk about it. More of a discussion. Usually you just compliment abs for a second and then we move on.
It's fight night, ladies and gentlemen. Love that they have this. It's just the same announcing team over and over again. It's just these two guys are the ones that do boxing announcing. Clever gives a pre-fight interview this time. He uses what would become Mr. T's iconic line, I pity the fool. And then the interview asks Clever what his prediction for the fight is going to be. And he says, my prediction, and then stares into the camera and says, pain.
It's perfect. It's
scary as shit. Apollo gives Rocky the
short. It's one of those moments, though, that like, this is a TV interview, right? And suddenly, like, it doesn't look like a TV interview anymore. not only the really good camera quality, but he is like, the camera gets right up in his face. It is so intimidating. And I understand why you were so scared of him as a kid.
It reminds me of those WWE interviews, though. And then the other guy's just standing there, and Mr. T walks off. He's like, well,
Yeah.
Apollo gives Rocky the shorts he wore in their first fight, and then he reminds Rocky, after this, you owe me a favor. Rocky's like, what favor? Both fighters enter the ring.
Wait, before we move on, Nick, the whole time I thought Apollo's gonna be like, hey, you know what? Wear these two, bro. Wear these shoes. Hey, you know what, bro? Wear my gloves. You know what? Wear my
wait, do it here, Apollo.
He's like, you know what, Rocky, just hang back. I'll fight it.
Play my theme music. Hey, yeah, exactly. Let me get in there.
Let's see, both fighters enter the ring and Clubber assaults a spectator. When they get into the ring, Clubber starts a melee with Creed. Rocky once again weighs in way underweight, this time at 191. Clubber weighing in at just a brisk 237. There's just, you know, a 50 pound weight difference between these two fighters, which would just, it never happened. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. By the way, if you're in the chat right now, you're like, no, Nick, they do this shit like this all the time in boxing, because I don't watch boxing. Please let me know if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure they don't. The ref brings them together to tell them the rules. This time, Rocky has no problem locking eyes with Clubber. He says, I'm going to bust you up. And Rocky says, go for it. I'm like, he could have had something better there, Rock. We could have prepared him a little better.
Remember that phrase, Nick? You remember it. Go for it soon. That comeback.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay. Cool. Rocky won. Rocky comes out fast and nimble. He punishes Clubber with jabs, and his movement is fantastic this time. Man, when Clubber throws and misses, again, the sound effect is awesome. It's just whoosh. Rocky wins round one decidedly, with Clubber failing to land even a single punch.
It's so weird to see him dodging and like blocking. It is
better for his eyes.
It just throws me off. I'm just used to like ding ding ding.
Dude, time out. We forgot to bring up in the first montage they had prepared for this fight, where Stallone's doing the punch out thing, where he's running and Mick's on the bicycle, and he has him like, yeah. Remember that part? I popped for that moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, this whole moment reminds me of those punch out things, and you're just dodging Mike Tyson, and you're like boom, 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 and you keep dodging it. But the only thing is, it's like he's doing the jab circle thing, and he got to keep your hand up, Rock. Your hand is way too low. You got to protect that face.
He knows his distance. He has an understanding of distance. Clubber, not a distance fighter. He's got better reach.
This is the first final fight in the franchise where they show the whole fight. They don't do any time jump or montage or skip.
And I missed it.
Very cool. Round two, counter and move, but Clubber pushes Rocky dead to rights into the corner and punishes him. Creed yells for Rocky to get his hands up, and once again he's pushed into the corner and punished. Rocky gets knocked down. He stumbles to his feet, only to take even more punishment from Clubber. Once again, he's knocked down. Clubber steps up and punishes him. This time with a little less oomph. This time he's breathing heavy, and Rocky catches it and he knows it. And he tells Creed, Creed's like, "What the hell are you doing?" He's like, "I know what I'm doing." He goes, "What are you doing?" He's like, "He's getting tired." And Creed's like, "Oh no, really?" He goes like this. It doesn't matter. He can fucking still knock you out. Be careful. And he says, "Don't tell me what to think. Go out there and do it. I have a tiger. He's just a man. Be more man than him." And Tim, am I more man than Greg Miller?
Some say.
Okay, cool. Well, most should say. That's the answer I was looking for.
Greg is a Missouri Tiger, dude. You got to, he has the eyes.
He's slower than the eyes. Tiger, dude.
I was going to say, Nick, now, if Greg asked us if he was more man than you and you weren't on the podcast, we'd say yes.
Of course.
That's the rule. It's like, the rule.
We just,
the same rule.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, there's some things that are supposed to be a constant in life, and talking shit about people that aren't on the podcast is one of those things. But I guess we're changing the rules, everyone. Anything can happen. Forget everything you know. Let's see. Round three. Rocky once again gets pushed in the corner to punish. This time, Clubber can't quite knock him down. Rocky begins to taunt him. He says, he's getting killed. He's not getting, or Creed says he's getting killed. And Paul says he's not getting killed. He's getting mad. Rocky taunts Clubber, who's unleashing. He unleashes everything he's got at Rocky, but it's not enough to put the champ down. And Clubber is getting tired. Rocky dodges Clubber strikes and then lets loose, sticking, moving, going to the body. This time he pushes Clubber into the corner and unleashes on the man. Let's see, we're in the four final massive blows, followed by an insane right hook as the music crescendos, puts Clubber down for the count. This time Adrian is in fact in the audience. She managed to be there for filming.
Six, seven, the count goes off, dude.
To see Rocky once again crowned champ. She says, "Are you all right?" He says, "Never better."
And we freeze. And then back into fast music, and I hate it.
but that's the thing. Like, before we get to that knockout, it's like that whole thing. He's like, "You're not so bad." Boom. "You're not so bad." He's like, he looks like he never fought up to that moment. It's like he's just fresh. Like, fresh fresh into the fight. It throws me out, man. That's all I gotta say. I mean, when Tim gets back, we're gonna rank this fight. That's the thing to me where I'm like, this final fight could have been better.
I'm still waiting for that choreographed moment. And this, you know, I always will reference this for every fight, but the choreographed moment when Vegeta hits Cell and distracts him. Mm-hmm. And Goku's spirit is behind Gohan, and he's like, "Gohan, now!" And you get like those, like, I need that moment for Rocky to see the weakness present, and him to notice it, and the corner to be like, "Rocky, now do that thing that we trained and like worked for and do that prepared
thing
you for."
Do. You need, you know, you need Andy. You need this. You know, that one moment where everything comes together and you
realize,
that's what
we need. And one of like I do kind of feel like that is such a modern action movie moment. Right. And it's possible that that's just kind of what we are expecting nowadays. Right. But I mean, you know, keep in mind, Dragon Ball Z was a while back.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you're describing is the crane kick from Karate Kid Part 1, right? We set it up. Done right, no one can defend it. And then he does it, and he wins the fight.
Well, here it just kind of feels like the punch stronger thing that I really don't like.
Well, Andy, you're talking about it. In the Karate Kid, he looked at, like, Mr. Miyagi. The camera cuts to Miyagi, and then nods, like, "Yes, dude. Yes.
You're ready for it. It's here.
This is it. This is it, dude."
He gives him the.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, yeah, dude.
It's the one moment, right?"
And then the hype up moment.
Dude, and then music goes bum, 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 bum. Yeah, he's like, "Yes."
Oh, it's a good movie, man.
Anyway, Rocky wins. He's crowned champ again. It's fantastic. We freeze on Creed, Polly, Rocky, and Adrian enjoying their victory, but you're not king. Not yet.
The stinger,
Creed,
dude.
Calls
it's
in his favor. Stinger. And I love this part, man. They're just walking toward a ring, just the two of them, just in their shorts with their gloves. And he says, "You beat me by 1 second. That is a hard thing for a man of my intelligence to handle." And he says, "Didn't you say after I beat you, you learned how to deal with it?" And he goes, "I lied." And they step back into the ring. Everything back here is so great, the back and forth. And he's like, "Well, there's no," he's like, "You want to ring the bell?" And Apollo goes, "Ding, ding, ding, ding." And then they just, as the movie once again freeze frames as they just fucking throw at each other.
And then it turns into a painting as if it is art that we had just witnessed. I love it. Also, I love that once again, Rocky wins and then we just get the fucking fast ass version of the Rocky.
I love it, dude.
It's all, let's go.
That drummer's going off on the high.
where are we going to rank the fight for fight hype?
Yeah, ready? So we got the... Hold on. Yeah, go for it. Oh.
We'll rank the fight. Is it hype or boring?
Ladies and gentlemen, rank the fights. Right now, at number one, we have Rocky 2. And at number two, we have the fight from Rocky 1. Where do you want to put the fight from Rocky 3?
Three with a bullet.
I would say probably three, yeah.
It stinks.
I'd put it at two.
You put it at two?
Yeah, but I don't think that it's. I think Rocky 2 is the number one. I didn't really like the Rocky 1 fight that much. I thought it was. It just needed more. But this one, not too. It was fine. It was serviceable.
So me and Sanjay put it at three. Andy, where do you want to put it?
I put it three only because it's obviously. Yeah, he's supposed to win. He can't win. He can't lose twice, right? And. Because of that, you're expecting like, all right, well, he's definitely going to win this. And I'm expecting a bit more from it still. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I know he's going to win. How are they going to wow me with this win? And it just doesn't really do much for me.
All right. Well, there you have it.
And man, then that fucking, three. But then you know what? The drummer pops off.
There he is.
Here he goes. Should we do Ragu Oppo?
Ragu Oppo.
Ragu. Oppo. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ragu Oppo, when we rank the opponents for the Rocky franchise. Number one, Apollo Creed from Rocky 2. Number two, Apollo Creed from Rocky Run. And where do you want to put Clubber Lang? Probably three.
I'd go two.
Really?
I really liked Creed in the second one. I liked the whole internet commenter angle, and I think that they presented it all well. I liked the Creed. I mean, he is just he's so good at being bad. With Mr. T, like, he's just so incredibly catchphrase heavy, so powerful. He is just like the evil Shadow Rocky, and he fucking nails that stuff.
Yeah. That's a good argument there.
I don't disagree, but I still think it's three. And I think the thing I loved about Creed in one is that it is so understated, and all of that is by design because he's overlooking this match. He doesn't care about it much. And I think that adds so much to it. And it's almost like I'm giving him more points for him doing less.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a cool angle to it that he is. I like the dynamic of him as a villain because he doesn't really care a whole lot about this fight, and he cares about the business aspect. And what's the next fight? Let's keep on raising money. But it's, I think Duke does a decent job of kind of carrying him as the villain in that in part one. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really enjoy that kind of doing more with less in part one.
Fair enough.
I would have liked Clubber Lang to, if you're going to be one dimensional, you could be more one dimensional throughout the entire thing. Like, if you're going to call out Adrian in the beginning, like, keep doing it, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, talk shit about
Mickey dying.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Like, keep being this ruthless guy that will try to get in the head of Stallone. And I think they clipped his wings at the end there. I mean, the whole idea of him getting gas, like, he's still like a vicious Mike Tyson like fighter. So I gave him three, but he still has the best trash talking in all movie cinema.
I'm going to back you guys up at three as well. That's where he's going to round out the list.
You went so bad.
Andy, haiku in review.
Wow. It is here, huh, Tim?
It's yeah.
That is the segment that we do right here. Seven syllables in the middle. You need five for the first and last line. If it's not poetic, no need to fret. And haikus don't need to rhyme.
No, they don't.
Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like Drewtendo64 did. Rocky's ass is beat. He's slow and can't move his feet. Worst Rocky film ever made.
Doesn't
Whoa. Damn, Drewtendo. Damn.
People hate him. Five. Don't people
slow it down a little bit, bro?
I thought he was going to end it with doesn't beat his meat.
Jesus.
It's there.
It would work. It would work. Ignacio Rojas says, anything better than foes becoming partners to take down a new threat? No, the answer is no.
The answer is no.
Lee Palero writes in with an absolute banger. Eye of the Tiger. Eye of the Tiger, baby. Eye of the Tiger.
Yes. Yes, everyone.
And then Joshy G writes in with a two-parter here. Rise up, fight your foe with the Eye of the Tiger, the thrill of the fight. Clubber pities fools. Thunderlip's name of the game. Creed's one last favor.
Oh, dude.
Love
ding
it.
Ding.
And that, you're so right, Tim. Like, end the franchise there, dude.
Right there. Right,
like, there. And let Disney Plus add on to it 40 years later and ruin it.
No. Yeah. Nick, yeah. They don't know, bro.
Or make it better. Oh, no. Or make it better, Andy.
You don't know. You guys are in for a
ride, Brody.
Oh God.
For it, man.
I can't wait till March. I just fucking can't wait. All right. So now it's time to rank the Rocky cinematic universe. At number one, we have Rocky 2. And number two, we have Rocky 1.
Very close. That was a split decision, by the way, y'all. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very close decision.
I feel like I might be alone on this, but I'm going to put Rocky 3 in number two.
Oof. So we have, wait, I'm sorry. What was the rank? What was the list again?
Rocky 2 and then 1. Because the thing is, two, like I kept saying, the second half of Rocky 2 is just so good. Like her waking up from the coma and just saying, win. Like from then on, it's just like, oh my God, this is so good. I feel like this is a consistently good movie. Had a lot of like good moments, a couple highs. Apollo teaming up with him, coaching him, so fantastic. But a lot of the Polly stuff sucks. I'm over Adrian. Like, there's a lot of shit. I'm like, yeah, we can move on.
I would put this at number three. I just really enjoy the classic feel of one, and I like a lot of the stuff that Tim isn't a big fan of, like the more natural sort of dialogue moments, and that the moments that feel like improv, they just feel so natural to me and real. And I enjoy that version of Rocky a lot more. The lovable underdog who's goofy and every once in a while says a dumb thing and is practicing pickup lines and jokes and one-liners. Like, I just enjoy the heart, and it's such an endearing film. So I would put part three at number three.
I want to agree with Andy here. The reason why I, like I said at the opening, three, just the perfect Rocky film in my mind, it needs to only have one fight. And for this one to have multiple fights, even the montage, it just dampens everything that Rocky is. Because, and I feel like it never had that crescendo moment for a final fight where Rocky turns it around. And I think, like, even if you modernize it, I mean, they set up so many things like Rocky, you know, you can only go eight rounds, Clubber can't. And then if they would have had that danger, like, Rocky, you're close to the eighth round, bro. You're going to gas out yourself. Like, there's a couple things that could have put it, like I said, it was a contender for a top three classic, but it just fell a little short. And I know, like, it adds so much wrinkles to Rocky, like Mickey's death. Now Rocky's on his own. Him and Apollo are together now. But I just think the pacing of it really hurts, because I've just felt like there was a lot of da-da-da-da, and it will build up and then it will die out. But that's why I'm saying, if it was episodic, dude, you'd be like, wow, wait, Apollo's now coming back? Great, next episode, Apollo's training. Oh, Rocky's not going to do it? Now Adrian, like, it would have flowed a lot better for me versus a movie to see in one setting.
See, it's funny, because I think when I think about Rocky 2, I think Rocky 2 is the one that's way more disjointed and like and distracted and with a lack of focus, right? You have all those moments where he's like buying houses and stuff, and yeah, it all goes to sort of like where he's at, you know, emotionally and kind of setting up that he's going to have to get back into the ring. And this movie, I think, suffers from less of those problems only because it's shorter. Because they're like, okay, we learned from the last fight, and we're going to go into this next fight. We're going to try to make this wrap this up a little faster. I enjoy this movie more, I think, then I enjoy watching Rocky 2. This movie is the one I remember more often than not, because I just think it was kind of catered for it to be a little bit more cartoony and just for sheer enjoy, like just a fun movie, kind of playing the hit, so to speak, as a band would do. I like Rocky 1 more than any of these, so that's why I can't put this over that. I would put this at number 3.
So there we go. The new rankings. Number 1, Rocky 2. Number 2, Rocky 1. And number 3, Rocky 3. Like I said earlier, next week we're taking a little Rocky break. We're going to be doing the Incredible Hulk rewatch to prepare for She-Hulk, and we were also going to be doing a fun little bonus episode of I Am Groot, 5 episodes on Disney Plus, August 10th, I think.
Justice.
It is. The whole thing is going to be 20 minutes or less total, so it's not going to be that long to watch. It's just going to be a cute, fun thing. But yeah, Andy's getting some justice. We're going to rewatch Incredible Hulk. I'm really excited for it. Andy's going on a fun little vacation, so he's not going to be able to be on all the content next week. We had to make the decision. Is he going to be on In Review, or is he going to be on Kind of Funny Podcast? And I gave him the option. I'm like, it's Incredible Hulk. I know how you feel about that movie. Do you want to be on it? And he was like, I want to fucking be on it.
I just want to be on there to be celebrated, honestly, for my foresight and my great taste. So I can't wait to be celebrated by everybody, you know?
That sounds right.
I feel, you know, for the In Review folks, instead of getting Rocky 4, you're getting Incredible Hulk, and I'm sorry, okay? I'm just going to let you know, I am so sorry that's what you're being served, but it's going to be quite delicious because the boys always make things great.
Midward Norton over here. Jesus.
Jesus. And then the week after that, though, we return to Rocky with 4, 5, 6. Right. It's going to be a great time for everyone. I'm really excited for 4 because I've heard a lot of everyone's told me growing up, like, oh, Tim, you'd love Rocky 4. And if I'm about to find out why, we'll see.
Okay. Before I know we're closing here. We're doing the OG Rocky 4, right? Just so everybody.
Let's do OG Rocky 4. Let's keep it OG. Keep it OG.
OG, do not put Rocky versus Drago. That's not the one you want. You want Rocky 4.
Rocky 4. Until next time, y'all.
Keep punching.
There he is. Okay, just point it there. He's pointing. Scary.